The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
You know, I always come in here super cheery, but I just want to say something. I don't like running errands. I really don't. Good morning. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. I am Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
Whenever I feel like I'm my most tired, I've got to go run an errand.
Oh.
Like, no matter what, I'm like, I want to go home and work out and, you know, do stuff, blah, blah. Can't. Got to go run an errand. Last week, Otto and I, every single day, had to go do something.
That's part of adulting.
Oh,
there you go, Automatic.
It's just the way life is at this point.
You know how people say, if you'd win like $5 million on the lotto, what would you do? I would hire me someone to run my errands. Oh. I'm not calling you an assistant. I'm not giving you a fancy title.
And you basically have one with all your app people that...
It doesn't work that way. I always end up forgetting something, and I'm not paying $10 to deliver trash bags. I'm going to go run an errand and get them. But going to the tax office and going and doing this, and oh my gosh, we have to take the car, and we have to do this, and the cat needs something. And I'm like, oh my God.
A lot of the times it's the cat. It just feels like the cat runs our life at this point.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I feel like a lot of times, too, it's like the errands always hit on the longest day of your life, right?
This
is going to be the longest week of our life.
I've got so much to do today, and blessings. My mother is cancer-free.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So happy.
Yes.
But of course, she still has to go see the doctor. There's still a lot to do, reconstructive surgery. So I will be accompanying her today to MD Anderson. And right after that, I have to go practice hosting all these wonderful FIFA events. I'm so blessed to be a part of them. I'm tired. And I haven't even gotten started.
And then when you get home, there's a big pile of laundry waiting for you.
Yes, and then I have to go run an errand anyway.
Hey, did I tell you that Dana's mom and dad are back at the house?
No, how's that going?
It's good. I mean, we got a full house. We got four adults and two cats.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot going on. I think that we had to travel this past weekend. And I think they were happy to see us go.
I know. Adolfo was like, when I walked in the door, he's like, oh.
Yeah, they're back.
You know what? And, I'm thankful that they're back, too. God bless everything going on with your mom.
Yes.
But also, you guys try to rope me into some of your errands as well, too. You guys gave me the good old, well, you can stay at my place over the weekend. And you guys could take my dog out and feed the cats.
I know. I did.
Anthony shot that one down right away. Yeah. I was like, oh, we got a free cat sitter.
I was like, we could just have him take care of the cats. He's like, nah. I got a place to stay. All right. Anyway, what do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
We'll start with National Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day.
I had thought I'd never had a strawberry pie, but now I remember I did. When they didn't have the cherry ones, my grandmother would grab those strawberry pies that were like handheld. It's a little Mrs. Baird, white and blue, with a little orange package. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, they hate to see me coming.
So good. We had a Mrs. Baird in the town I grew up in. And so we would go in there. They closed that thing down a long time ago. But I remember it smelled like bread when you drive by it. It was so good. Okay, what's next?
We also have National Donald Duck Day.
Oh, Donald Duck. He's probably one of the most famous. Is he? He's Disney, right?
Yeah.
Disney characters of all time.
Yeah. And one of the most
famous... You've met him on the boat, Dana. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I met Donald. Yeah.
One of the most famous non-pant wearers of all time as well, too.
Yeah, him and Winnie the Pooh, another Disney non-pant wearing character. My favorite Disney character has got to be... Oh, my gosh, this is so hard. I mean, I love watching Coco, but character-wise, probably Stitch.
Ohana means family.
I love him.
Another guy who doesn't wear pants.
Oh, yeah. What is going on with the pantless?
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Okay, so did you grow up without a father? If so, how did you learn to be a man? Or how did you overcome the insecurities, if you're a girl, of not having a father in your household? And I think that's a pretty legitimate question. There's a gentleman by the name of Ron Kenny. He has a YouTube channel that he thought was just going to help a couple of people. And he's changing the lives of boys and men, rather, all across the country.
My name's Rob Kenny, and I've been called the Internet's dad. The comments for how I was filling a void left in their life. Maybe their dad passed away or their dad left. I thought the channel was going to help 30 or 40 people, how to tie a tie, how to change a tire, how to cook. I've even read a few children's books, how to plant your grass seed. I'm trying to encourage, empower, and edify. Try to not waste your time because I don't want you to spend your whole time on the internet. You should be out enjoying life, right?
I saw the reaction of one man. This is a grown man, by the way, watching Mr. Kenny read a children's book, and the man just burst into tears. I'm getting emotional thinking about it. I'm not even playing you the audio. He said he'd never had anyone read a nighttime story to him. A man read that to him, and it just hit him so hard. Mr. Kenny is literally helping people. I didn't think about something like that, you know, putting a tie on. That's probably something your dad teaches you.
Yeah, and then you talk about insecurities earlier, Dana, and not having a father in your life can also, like, develop a lot of insecurities for men later on in life because there's a lot of things you don't know how to do. Mm. And tying the tie was one of the first things that actually it was my grandma's neighbor originally helped me tie a tie. Shout out to Roy.
Oh, he
was
the first person.
And then also my Uncle Leroy, rest in peace, helped me do it. And then the crazy thing is, flash forward 5 years later, when my younger brother and all of his friends were in high school, I helped all of them tie their ties.
Oh. Really, Anthony? Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yeah. And and guess what? One day they'll tell that story. You know Anthony A. from the radio? He he helped me how to tie my tie. I just never thought about things like that. Changing the oil. Because I had such a strong matriarch around me, right? My grandmother, my mom, even my Tia Sylvia, my Aunt Sylvia, they were always around me to show me how to do things. I didn't think about it like that. I know that you can anyone can raise a strong man. It is a little different, though, to see that man burst into tears when a grown man is reading a children's book made me think there's a lot of emotions that go along.
I think that, you know, people who grew up without a dad, there's a void that's going to be there because, I mean, my dad was definitely, he wasn't very handy. He wasn't very chivalrous. He was not very polite, but he was a very hard worker. He was super intelligent, and he taught me to be a man. He taught me what respect means, and I think respect is a big part of being a man.
And he did teach you how to take care of your family, too, because your dad, no matter what, he always took care of you and your three siblings.
He was a very hardworking man.
Yes.
And he always, no matter what, he always went to work. He always, you know, he brought home the bacon.
I have a question for you, Automatic. Do you think that you said your dad helped you become a man? Do you think that's like understanding how to navigate through emotions while protecting your manhood?
Yes. I think obviously I'm not an open book, but I'm way more open than he was.
And for me, that was always a big learning curve for me, is because I didn't have a man around in my life to say, hey, you got to keep on going. My mom and my grandmother had a lot of grit with them, but it was very acceptable in my house to cry. And that was tricky, learning that, how to navigate that emotion as an adult.
Oh,
I think that shows strength, though. And that's one thing, Otto, you're not a crier, right? In your house, you said your dad would say, don't cry, I'll give you something to cry about.
I'll give you something to cry about. And then I have two other brothers, so there's a lot of testosterone going on in our house. I feel bad for my mom and my sister to be...
Emotional intelligence is strength. I always tell this story. You may not know who Canelo Alvarez is, because I'll be honest, I knew who he was, but I'm not like this boxing aficionado. He's a boxer, pound for pound, one of the greatest, right? And we got hired to go cover his fight. Everybody's talking about stats. I don't know anything about that. I only knew that I'd seen a video of his son online crying. And the guy who trains this huge boxer is saying, don't cry. In Spanish, telling his son, don't cry. And then Canelo Alvarez, the champion, calls his son over and says, no, you need to cry. You need to cry because that's what a man does. When you feel something, you let it out and you'll feel better. Do you understand? And the little boy was like, yeah. That was my question to him. Why did you do that? And he said, I didn't learn that from my father. I learned the opposite. And it really had a negative effect on me. So I don't want that for my son. That's why I say emotional intelligence is extremely important. You need to teach your boys that it's okay to let it out. Because if not, they're going to take it out on people that they shouldn't be taking it out on.
You got to understand that balance for sure. I definitely agree with you. And also, it's a tricky thing to navigate, though, because if you're too emotional, that's not good for life either.
Mm-mm. And it's a slippery slope as a man because, you know, you could be emotionally... appealing to women, but at the same time, they're like,
oh my God.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, if you say, if you can say I'm emotionally intelligent and do all this stuff, but if you cry in front of your girl and you're doing it in the wrong situation, she's going to think about you differently. I'm
100%,
sorry.
100%, dude. There's some women now who view me as, oh, he's such a nice guy. And you can't recover from that.
That's a good thing. Why would you not want to be a nice guy?
Because I want to be a man. I want to be a leader. I want to be a, you know, I want to be like Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, well, see, then you need to cry, according to him. If you want Rob Kinney's information so you can watch his YouTube, please hit me up at Dana Cortez on Instagram.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
There is something that you are doing, okay, that is wasting up to 2 days, maybe more of your life every single year, and it's called a long goodbye.
Oh.
A long goodbye when you leave the family party.
The Irish goodbye.
I call it the Mexican goodbye. Is it an Irish goodbye too?
It's Irish also because, I mean, growing up in my house, it was 3 hours to just say bye.
Let me explain to you. You're saying, we're leaving now, okay? And you happen to be in one area of the home. And then you have to go to the next room and you have to say, we're leaving to the people in that room. And then somebody in the kitchen says, take a plate with you. So you're like, let me go to the kitchen.
See, the more that we're talking about this, I don't know if it's like a cultural, like, you know, ethnic thing. Like, because it's like my friend from the Midwest is like, they know it as the Midwest farewell.
The Midwest farewell? Producer yeah. Jack, do you concur?
Is can it the Midwest? Confirm.
Can't confirm. I just know this happened last weekend. I went to go visit family. And trying to say goodbye. And by the way, this is in the beginning of my neurovirus. Okay.
Oh my God.
So I'm not feeling good and I'm not exactly sure what's going on. And I'm trying to leave and I can't. I can't take a plate, do this, do that. And I'm like, I'm just trying to go home.
We're in a restaurant and there's probably, 25 of us? Yeah, it was a big family event, dude.
The restaurant was like, y'all need to leave. And it was a Mexican restaurant, and they were trying to get us out of there.
I felt like they were pretty understanding.
Oh, my God.
Because we moved from the table to the front lobby to in front of the doors.
The foyer.
Yeah, and then we went then out into the parking lot, and then we finally went to the cars.
And we were in the cars. That was a whole other...
It was another hour.
What is behind the goodbyes? It's a feeling of not wanting to really leave. I just read this whole study. It's somewhat of a cultural thing. It's a family thing, Anthony. When you feel really close, you don't want to say goodbye. Here's the other end of that study. If you just want to leave quickly, you don't say goodbye at all. You just leave. You walk out the door and you don't say bye to anybody. And then later, like, what happened to you? Oh, no, I said bye.
I've been known to do that a couple times. I have a friend who does that constantly, and now I know he's saving 2 days a year of his life.
Well, I know who he is, and he's our boss, so we're not going to throw him.
He just disappears.
I'm not going to put him on blast.
You know, but he's also a little emotionally detached as well, too. He'll buy me a round of tequila shots and then disappear, leave me at a bar by myself.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We got to sit down with little John and have a conversation. He's talking about being newly sober and the loss of his son as well. We're going to get into it and play the audio after celebrity birthdays, Anthony A.
We have some legendary actors. We have Michael J. Fox, Natalie Portman, and Johnny Depp all celebrating their birthday.
Wow, big B-days on that. All right. We sat down with little John. And we talked about a lot of things, but really what was interesting was his sobriety. Because the shots guy is no longer drinking, but he's explaining to us at this moment that it helped him through the loss of his oldest child, his son, who he had himself when he was still a kid.
When I had my son, I was still trying to make it, you know, 1998. I hadn't even had a big, like, you know, I hadn't had any of the success yet. And so it was a grind, and I'm more present for my daughter now. And then also I realized when I lost my son that I think God was giving me, he was slowing me down to get ready for my daughter, but he was also giving me my daughter to get ready for the loss of my son, because she's been able to be there for me and give me that innocence and that love, that extra love that I needed to give me and reason to live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you,
and be happy.
When you talked about having your son and being young, I was 15 when I had my first daughter. Mm. I could relate to that so much.
Yeah.
It's not that you were a bad father, you just weren't the best father
right.
you could be.
Right.
When you get
you're older, still figuring it out.
You're still figuring it out on your own. How are you?
I'm good.
The loss of your son.
I mean, it's tough. You know, you lose someone, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Yeah, it's going to hurt. And it's like you literally just take it day by day. But, you know, through like the fans, so many people like reached out, showed me love. And it's just, you know, family's been right there with me and everybody's been supportive. And it's, you know, it's just you got to just take your time and get through it. And you let the grief hit you and you deal with it.
That's what I was going to say, because I've lost people that I love dearly. A child that was almost unimaginable. Is travel, is being on the road, is it cathartic? Is it helpful to you in a way, the fans' energy?
Well, it was really hard because we were like 3 or 4 months out from the tour when I lost him. And so it was critical stages of me having to finalize the music, get visuals and all of this stuff. And I had to be creative as I'm going through this. Right. And it was really, I say it on stage, like it was really tough to get to where I am right now. But it is therapy to like get in front of people and show them that I'm okay and them give me all this good energy back and to just be in front of, you know, be out here with Pitt, who I've known for 25 years. And it's definitely helpful to be out of here among other people and feel good energy.
We've had plenty of conversations with Little John. This was way different. Probably one of my favorite talks.
He's in a different space now.
He is. He's just so smart. You know, you have to be of a certain age to get this, but the old Chappelle skit where he would speak like really, hi, my name is John and blah, blah. And then you go, yeah, like that really is. That's his persona. And this is who he is. And he has so many gems. We do talk to him a little bit about working with Donald Trump on The Apprentice, and he's very honest in how Trump behaved. If you are curious, you can listen to the Dana Cuerta Show podcast and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's up there as well.
The Dana Cuerta Show podcast.
Love Island. The new season is in full effect. So why are we talking about last season? Oh my goodness. I got two words. Huda Mustafa. We'll get into it after celebrity birthdays, Anthony A.
All right, we have Michael J. Fox, Natalie Portman, and Johnny Depp all celebrating their birthday.
Okay, so Huda Mustafa's ex-boyfriend, Louis Russell, the mother of his child, Nicole Oliveira, she alleged in court that Huda tried to break into her L.A. apartment, and Huda was like, I didn't do that. Have you heard of Google and all of the cameras they have all over? They caught her trying to break into the mother of Lewis's house, her apartment. Now, the surveillance footage has gone viral. TMZ is the first one that broke it. And, I don't think she's done with all the controversy. This is the people that Love Island wants on. That's why you watch it and you just get so into it. Because they're willing to go the extra mile to do whatever it takes to get to
No, they're just crazy. That's what it is.
Well, she was one of the more polarizing figures. And as you guys can tell, not the brightest either. But I've bit into the bug, guys. I've got it. I've
You've taken
Kool-Aid.
On this season?
I am in to season 8. Oh. Heavily into it, dude.
Can we get an update then?
I told you last season, Anthony, you're like, I don't want to watch it. I told you it's crazy.
I didn't think investing an hour and a half of my life on season 1 was going to do it. But then Patrice didn't pick Sean and she left him hanging. And then from that point on, I was instantly hooked.
Wait till Patrice tries to break into his ex's baby mama's house.
The Dana Cuerta Show podcast.